Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, November 12th. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Holly Shelowitz of Nourishing Wisdom. Holly is a culinary instructor, certified nutrition counselor, and herbalist. She is here today to discuss healthy, tasty, and immune-boosting foods. And for over two decades, through her client sessions, online cooking classes, and essential oil educational events, Holly has been inspiring people to get into the kitchen, cook using fresh ingredients, upgrade their skincare, home care products, say goodbye to toxic chemicals. You want to talk about all that? Give us a call. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But the number is 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz joins us right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome back Holly Shelowitz. Holly is a certified nutrition counselor and culinary nutrition educator for over 22 years. Holly has been teaching people how to harness their body's own preventive and healing powers with food, herbs, and lifestyle. She regularly teaches community workshops in libraries, farmers markets, and on Zoom. If you have a question for Holly Shelowitz, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. And a couple of people have done that already, voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the number is 800-348-2551. Holidays are coming. Calories will be consumed. There are better ways to go about it, Holly Shelowitz. Welcome back.
Thank you. Great to be here. And yes, there are better ways to go about it.
Well, before we get into that, let's catch up with you. How have things been going?
Things are going really well. Grateful for that and loving the change of seasons, getting out multiple times a day. I hope everyone is just loving it all.
Today, not so much. It's a little, up here, it's very, very damp.
Okay. It has shifted here, so hopefully that's coming your way.
Cool.
And now the sky, I'm seeing patches of blue. I just got out for a super quick woods walk before before our call, and so the rain has stopped for the moment.
My God, you could be a backup meteorologist here at the station if you want. That was very good. Before we get going with the calls and some of the things that we want to talk about today about immune-boosting foods and such for the holidays, yeah, you got to satisfy my curiosity here. I don't know much about essential oils. In fact, why don't you tell me what an essential oil is and what I need to know about it?
Oh, amazing. Okay.
What do you mean, amazing that I don't know something? I think that you...
Amazing that you're about to learn something spectacular.
Okay.
That's really the truth.
Because it's really not a surprise that I don't know something. But anyway, let's find out about essential oils from Holly Shelowitz.
Okay, so essential oils are oils that are pressed from plants, either from the bark, the leaves, the fruit, the berries, or, all of those things. And so there are oils made from the trees. So there are spruce oils and fir that smell like Christmas tree and so many of the fake fragrances that are in candles and pop-ups are trying to mimic natural scents. And when you buy pure essential oils, like everyone probably has heard about lavender. And so each of these oils have multiple health benefits, both for relaxation, for an actually medicinal. And they can be, some can be even enjoyed internally when they're pure essential oils, only pure. And so I love teaching people how to use them in the air, in like ways to inhale them or to diffuse them in a diffuser, which is like, it's kind of like a humidifier, but it's specifically made for essential oils that you put a few drops of your favorite oils in there and it diffuses into the air and brings beautiful aroma, and also, depending on what you use, has immune-boosting, relaxing, or energizing properties. So,
well,
this
is interesting. I mean, who decided they were essential?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that.
Well, I'll ask you this question, and I don't know if you know the answer to this, but I assume since this is something that you are into, you might have an idea. How yeah. would inhaling, say, lavender scent from an infuser or diffuser, whatever mm-hmm, you want to call it, mm-hmm. how would that improve my health in any way? It's just, to me, it's just an aroma.
Oh, it's true. It is an aroma, and aromas really go into the olfactory senses. They actually go into the brain. So lavender, when it's diffused or sprayed into the air, or you put a couple of drops on your hands and you rub your hands together and then you breathe in the scent on your hands,
yeah.
it is going into the limbic part of your brain. And I'm sure we all have experiences where you smell something, whether it's roses that remind you of your grandmother or a cigar that reminds you of your father. That's, you know, that happens to me. I would be walking on the streets in the city when I lived there and smell a cigar and look around. And it was like immediately I would think of my father.
Oh.
And so when I'll give you a quick story.
Sure.
Many, many years ago, I was traveling with my family on a cruise and my sister and I were sharing a room, and rooms on cruise ships are pretty tiny. And my sister came down with mono, and which is a highly contagious virus.
Yeah.
And I had a bottle of lavender, I had a spray bottle that I had made with water and lavender essential oil and a little bit of alcohol. Don't get funny, right?
Why would I?
So I was spraying the room, and I would spray her pillow, and I would spray my pillow, and I was massaging her shoulders with pure lavender oil. And I didn't get mono, even though we were living in a 2x4 room for a week. And she got so much better, so much faster, huh. thankfully. And so they really do have, you know, many of them, depending on the blend and depending on the oil, are antiviral, antibacterial, and they really can be tremendously helpful. So the inhalation, don't think it's just like, oh, like a little nice smell. They really have an impact.
Really interesting. We're joined today by Holly Shelowitz. It's Food Friday, but we're learning a little about essential oils here as we begin the program. The number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. As I mentioned at the outset, Holly, this is the time when the buffet table looks really good and you start slamming down things you shouldn't in big quantities. How do you avoid doing that? And one of your specialties is immune boosting foods. How do you?
Yeah.
I think you might be the only person ever who induced me to eat kale on this program. Nature's
I'm so
whisper.
Delighted.
Yeah, thank you very much. For that.
That is an honorable position.
Well,
thank you.
I don't know
and
if
you it, survived.
Well,
and you actually liked it.
I think I did like it. But you know, how do you do this? Make healthy foods
yeah.
tastier for the holidays and, you know, more accessible to those of us who might be a little skeptical.
Yeah, that's great. So many of the foods that are already at the farmer's markets, pretty much almost everything at the farmer's market is an immune-boosting food. So let's think about mushrooms. So when you're thinking about savory dishes, you can, you know, saute mushrooms and onions and add that into the dishes that you're preparing. You can include plenty of greens. You could do something totally radical and have some kind of salad on your table at Thanksgiving or in any of the holidays, which I know is kind of a break in tradition, but it's also really welcoming. And then when you're making desserts, like I really believe that eating healthy doesn't mean that we're deprived or that we're not having the enjoyable, yummy foods. And there's lots of alternative sweeteners to sugar. So you can You can research recipes. I have tons on my website, and there's plenty out there where you're using maple syrup in your desserts, or you're using honey, or for those of us who have really sensitive blood sugar, You can use monk fruit sugar, which is an amazing sweetener made from monk fruit, and it doesn't elevate blood sugar, but you want to use it in a different way than you would use white sugar. So you'd have to find recipes that are specific for that. And so there are plenty of ways. Like even when you make your pumpkin pies and sweet potato pie, try sweetening it with maple syrup. I feel like they're made for each other. And then using herbs and spices like cinnamon and nutmeg and allspice, and all of those herbs and spices have immune boosting properties.
You know, you make it sound very enticing. So good for you. And when we come back from the break, I want to talk just for a little bit about water and why it's so important to all of us. And that will be something. But I need to know, do you ever, on your table for Thanksgiving, do you have cooked veggies or is it all raw?
Oh, no. Totally cooked.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I love cooked and roasted, especially at this time of year. The thing that I'll have at, you know, my table this year and in previous years, I'll make I call it a broccoli detox salad, but I don't tell everybody that that's the real name of it, where it's like, you know, you put broccoli. I think I might have made that for you guys on one of the other shows, but the recipe is actually on my website for anybody who wants it. But it's broccoli and cauliflower, and then it's sweetened. You can put currants, and there's a dressing with olive oil and lemon and even a little maple syrup. So it's like this fresh, crunchy, salad-y thing in the midst of all the roasted. So absolutely, I love roasted vegetables. In fact, once the weather starts to turn, my oven's going with butternut squash, and I roast Brussels sprouts and broccoli ongoing. Like, it's just a daily affair around here.
I love the butternut squash. We'll take a quick break here. Holly Shelowitz joins us. We'll get to your calls in a moment. 800-348-2551 is the number. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org, and we'll check the email bag in a moment. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here. It's 800-348-2551. If you want to talk to Holly Shelowitz, and who doesn't? Before we get to the phones, Holly, you know, you're a big proponent, and you're not the only one, of slamming down water at every opportunity. Just how important is this to our immune system and everything else?
It is so important. And in fact, so much of our bodily processes, including our brain, going into digestion, elimination, circulation, inflammation, all of these things are improved by drinking water. And it's amazing. There's a lot of people that think they're drinking a lot of water, but they're really sipping on the same 16-ounce bottle all day.
Yeah. How much water do you drink?
I aim for 3 quarts a day. And I get it pretty much every day. And 3 quarts is, 3, 6, 9. It's 96 ounces.
Good Lord.
Of water.
That's a lot of water.
It's a lot of water. But here's what I've learned personally is that I've always drank, I love water and I drink a lot of it. I start the day with some fresh lemon, and it's what I really encourage my clients to do.
Yeah.
But a few years ago, I had Lyme disease, which was no joke and no fun.
Yeah.
And one of the things that with the medication I was taking and the herbs that I was taking, I had to drink 3 quarts of water. And I thought, oh, my God, like, how am I really going to do that?
Yeah.
And once I started doing it, I realized how much better I was feeling and just how much clearer I felt. And so now it's something that I teach. So it's like one of the first things that I talk about with new clients. And the ideal ratio for when you can do it, you know, we want to go for the best we can every day and not make it be about perfection. But check this out.
Okay.
Ideally, half of your body weight in ounces would be the goal.
Every day?
Well, yeah. Now, if you're a UPS driver or if you're like out and about, like in your car a lot, that's going to be very difficult, right? Because what comes in must come out.
Good Lord.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we do the best we can. But if you, as you're listening right now, sip your water, you guys. It really makes a difference.
Wow, that's amazing. Holly Shulowitz joins us today once again on Food Friday. The number is 800-348-2551. Let's blast through a couple of emails here, and then the phone lines are loaded, so we'll get to them in a moment. Somebody, obviously correcting my ignorance, writes, I believe they are known as essential oils because they are made of the basic essence of the plant they come from, not because someone decided they were necessarily essential. You see,
the subtext
there is, Ray, you're an idiot. But we knew that. Oh. All right, let's go.
No, that was a great response. That's
that makes sense
to me.
This is from Joel. Could you suggest a few foods that raise HDL and lower LDL besides bourbon, writes Joel. But I think Joel is just, everybody's on my case today.
Okay. So what he's asking is, when someone has cholesterol that is flipped, where they're having, you know, the good cholesterol is lower and the quote unquote bad cholesterol is higher.
Yeah.
My suggestion always, hey, drink water, put lemon in your water, get outside and move your body every day as much, you know, as often as you can, where you're exercising and moving and breathing in fresh air and oxygen and really getting out of breath. In a safe way, obviously.
Right.
And then in terms of the food on your plate, I love to show everyone how to do something called reconfiguring your plate, where in our culture, and maybe in all cultures, we're so used to having a giant portion of protein and tiny little servings of vegetables that might be overcooked to death that are not even tasty. And so reconfigure your plate so you've got two or three different vegetables mm-hmm. on your plate along with the protein. So if you're having a steak or a chicken or fish or beans, that you have maybe some sautéed kale, and then you can think of Ray when you're making that and when you're eating it. Yeah. Or you can have some broccoli, and you know, any of the green vegetables can be easily prepared when you start with olive oil and garlic. And so a lot of people will come to me and come to my classes and say, well, I don't know how to make vegetables taste good. And so I love to show you, just start with a little olive oil in your pan or coconut oil, and then chop the pieces small. So a lot of times people who have had bad experiences with kale
yes.
or collard greens have eaten, like you get this giant piece on your fork and it's not cooked. So it's soft, and then you're like, you know, I'm not a rabbit. I don't want to eat this. And so you want to cook, you know, cut your greens in small pieces.
Right.
And cook them and taste them so that they're the texture that you like. Depending on where they're grown and the time of the season, sometimes they can be tough. And so what I'll do is I'll add a couple of spoonfuls of broth or water, and then cover the pan so that you're actually steaming and sauteing at the same time so that it kind of tenderizes them.
Yeah.
And this way they're not overpowering. And then just a pinch of good quality salt, you know, not your regular everyday supermarket salt. You want to buy good quality salt. Like, can I say brands?
Am
I
allowed to say if you brands? Can say two different brands, I think we can
get
away
yeah,
with
yeah,
it.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. So Redmond sea salt is a salt that's made from the salt beds in Utah.
Yeah.
That's a very mineral-rich salt. And then another one is Celtic sea salt. And this way, when you are using salt, and you never have to oversalt your food, you're adding minerals to your food as well. So back to the question of the cholesterol is that keep adding in more vegetables, moving your body, drinking water, minimize inflammatory foods.
Very good. Holly Shulowitz joins us. Let's hit the phones. 800-348-2551 is the number. Amelia in Hillsdale. Amelia, you're on.
Hey, yes.
Polly, it's good to hear from you. I think we're both on the same essential oil path.
Great.
Yeah. By the way, lavender, it helps me to sleep. I put it on my ears, and I put it on the bottom of my feet.
Perfect.
And I sleep sounder and longer than I have without it.
That's so wonderful to hear. I do the same thing, and it does the same for me. I'll add to this that I have kept a bottle of lavender in my kitchen for well over 25 years, not the same bottle, because it's a fantastic oil for burns. Like, for those of us who cook a lot, you know, it's really easy to just get a little burn. Like, we're not talking 911 burns, right?
Right.
So then you immediately go and put that place that you got burned under cold water. And then you drop lavender essential oil and you drop it on there like every 15 to 20 minutes. And I have had countless, unfortunately, but countless experiences where I don't blister. It doesn't leave a scar. And it really takes the heat out. So it's got multiple uses.
Maybe you ought to wear gloves, Holly. a lot of burns. All right, Amelia. Do you have
you
a question, Amelia?
Yeah, my question is about ginger root and how to keep it from rotting and how to keep it in your kitchen. Do you refrigerate it? Do you freeze it? Do you just wrap it in saran? What do you do?
Yeah, it's a really common thing because it can get moldy if you don't use it quickly. I always refrigerate mine. If you're not using it, I would say within a couple of weeks, you can slice it and freeze it and then pull it out of the freezer for whatever dish you're going to use it in. I use mine pretty often. And in fact, I want to add that to the person who was asking about lowering cholesterol and elevating good cholesterol, including fresh ginger, fresh garlic, fresh turmeric in your cooking and in your food is a fantastic way to lower inflammation. And so that's how I do it. If you have it in the fridge, and I don't put saran wrap on it, I keep it on the door of the fridge. I would say, mark your calendar or put a note. And if you've got it for more than 2 weeks, you can slice it and freeze it.
All right, Amelia, thanks for the call. 800-348-2551 is the number. Holly Shelowitz joins us today on this Food Friday. Mark in Ulster County. Hello, Mark.
Hey, is it me, Mark?
I don't know. Is it you, Mark?
Yes.
Okay, then it's you. Go ahead, sir.
Before I ask my question, I just want to say Impossible Vegan Pumpkin Pie.
All right. Is that some sort of a quiz or
now
a clue?
No, I got that out.
Okay, fair enough. All right, and do you have a question?
My question is twofold. I had Lyme disease, and then I got an autoimmune disease, and they say that certain supplements or foods are not healthy for people who have autoimmune diseases.
Aha.
Is that so?
Holly.
It's a pretty broad, I'm not sure how to respond to that without knowing more details about your situation. So you're welcome to email me.
Who is she, a nutritionist, in person?
I tell you what, Mark, if you hang in there, Holly's going to give her email address, and you can email her directly on that question. She'll need some more details probably than we have time for on the program. So, Holly, what is your email address?
My email is holly@nourishingwisdom.com.
holly@nourishingwisdom.com. Hey, Mark, good luck. She will have answers for you, I'm sure. Let's go to Robin in Claverick. Robin.
Hi, I had a question about almond flour. When you are baking with it, because this is my first time around with that to try and lower my carb, there is something special that you would do as opposed to regular flour, and does it create the same texture?
Oh, such a good question. You can't use almond flour one-to-one from a recipe that is calling for regular white all-purpose flour. However, I do all of my baking, pretty much, I use almond flour, but you really have to use a specific recipe that's designed for almond flour as the flour. So don't do a sad experiment where you waste the precious almond flour
it's
and
expensive.
It comes out flat like a pancake. Yeah. So definitely, you're welcome to search on my website. I've got lots of recipes there. Or, of course, do web searches for baking with almond flour. And then, you know, there's lots of other options, depending on what you said you're wanting to reduce your carbohydrate intake. So that's where I would start.
Right, because I've done the whole thing with, well, I've always loved vegetables for years. And like savory cooking, like a good recipe for your butternut squash is savory roasted butternut squash. That's really good if you ever want to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you catch
any
of that?
It's a little hard to hear you.
Yeah, the connection's not too good, Robin. But Holly, you got some of that, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, Robin, thank you very much for the call. Obviously, driving in a tunnel for part of that conversation. The number here is 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz is here on this Food Friday, and John is in Albany. John, you're on.
Yes. Good afternoon. I'm interested in finding out what would be, Holly, what would be your top 10 anti-inflammatory foods and maybe a couple anti-inflammatory essential oils.
Wow. Okay. Let me get my pen. Top 10.
Okay.
Anti-inflammatory foods. Okay. Ready?
Ready.
I'm going to say ginger, garlic, turmeric, onions, greens of all kinds. All the root vegetables, all the different radishes, roots, turnips, all of the bitter, like foods that have vegetables that have a slightly bitter taste are naturally cleansing. So I think we're up to 7.
yeah.
So you want to also include arugula, watercress, like I said, all of the radishes, lemons, and limes, so lemon in your water, lime in your water, apples, blueberries. Oh my goodness, this is a great question.
Now, you've studied this for a long time and you've taught this and you're a certified nutrition counselor. What about those foods reduces inflammation?
They are all high in something called phytonutrients. So all of the colors of the rainbow. It might sound funny, you know, we've all heard it, eat the rainbow.
Yeah.
That's like, we're not kidding, because all of the fruits and vegetables that have beautiful, vibrant colors have all of this plant nutrients that the body really knows what to do with.
Yeah.
And then the bitter foods really have an affinity for your liver, your gallbladder, for digestion. And they really help to break down accumulated fats in the body. So that's especially the bitter foods.
All right. John, we got to take a break here. Holly Shelowitz, before we hit the break, what is your guiltiest food pleasure we want you to confess here on the air?
I don't believe in guilty food pleasure in terms of, like, all food is pleasurable.
Yeah.
But I know where you're going with this.
Yeah.
And so I will say, you know, I love chocolate.
Yeah.
I love, love, love chocolate. I eat it regularly. And I don't eat chocolate that has sugar in it because for me personally, I really have a bad reaction to sugar. And so there are lots of brands that use coconut sugar, that use monk fruit sugar. And there's actually a brand that that uses stevia and erythritol, which don't elevate blood sugar. And if I get your permission, I'm happy to say what the brand is of that or any of those brands. I have no affiliation, but just a lot of love for these companies who are doing it.
All right, well, hold that thought. We'll take a break. So in other words, if we were to ship you down some ring things, you would not eat them. Is that correct?
That's That's correct.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll scratch that off the list. And that'll actually keep the overhead down here on the program. 800-348-2551 is the number. It's nutritionally good and immune-boosting eating with Holly Shelowitz today. More of your calls coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, and we talk healthy things that are also tasty with Holly Shelowitz on the program today. The number is 800-348-2551. And Holly, we have a stack of emails here, and we also have a lot of people on the line. So I will read through some emails, and maybe we can answer them quickly and get back to the phones. But Diana wrote quite a while ago and wrote this. Let's talk turmeric. Seems like everyone's going gaga over this member of the ginger family. What are your top three ways to get turmeric's benefits in you? And that's from Diana.
I love the way people are asking about my top three, top 10. It's very creative question, very creative today.
Yeah.
Okay, top three. So turmeric, you can find it easily in two forms. You can find it ground and dried, which is probably most common. And now, thankfully, over the past, I would say maybe 8 to 10 years, a lot of the natural food stores are able to have it fresh. So it looks like ginger. It's actually not, it's not the same family as ginger. It's,
yeah,
maybe it's a cousin. But and so I add turmeric to eggs, to sauteed vegetables, to soups. I just made this cauliflower cauliflower carrot soup with fresh grated turmeric, fresh ginger, fresh garlic, and then it's all pureed. And then I added a little bit of curry powder. So curry powder that you would buy in the grocery store or at the natural food store, the yellow color is from the turmeric, and it is incredibly anti-inflammatory, which means that it really helps the body to eliminate and reduce inflammation. And inflammation is the stuff that causes so much of the ailments that people are suffering from, from heart disease, heart disease, high cholesterol, on and on and on. It's all an inflammatory response. And so believe it or not, turmeric also really helps with pain reduction. So if you're suffering from sore joints and achiness, like get that turmeric in. So the top three ways, in soups, in smoothies, and in your veggie sautés. And frankly, it can go in almost any, in really almost any dish, even a sweet one. So I'll add a fourth where you can make something called, golden milk, where you take fresh or dried ground turmeric, coconut milk. I like to add ginger, and I sweeten mine with stevia. Many people sweeten it with honey. And you make, like you whisk all of those ingredients together on the stovetop and then strain it and drink it in the evening. And it's like helps with sleep, and it helps with all of the things that I was saying. It helps with reducing inflammation. So I would absolutely have turmeric in your world on, you know, if not daily, then as often as possible. It's that good.
All right, this one's from Janet in Pittsfield. I recently lost my sense of smell and taste after a breakthrough COVID infection. Will essential oils be recognized by my limbic system even if I can't detect the aroma?
Yes, definitely. There's a protocol of using 4 specific oils. And if you reach out to me, I'll send it to you. Let me just think if I could remember it now. It's any of the strong smelling oils like eucalyptus, peppermint, and then you also want to include lavender or rose if you can get that.
Yeah.
And lemon. So like you include essential oils from all the different categories. So we've got citrus, we've got floral, we've got earthy. And so you just, you don't, you can just smell the bottle. Even if if you can't smell it at this moment. There's also a blend that called Valor that you can rub on your spleen.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Rub it on your spleen?
It's topically. You know, you rub it on the left side of your belly.
Oh, I see.
And that can be really helpful to bring back your sense of smell and taste. So feel free to reach out to me. I would love to be able to help you with that.
This is a good spot. Once again, your email address, Holly?
Holly@nourishingwisdom.com.
All right, two more emails very quickly here, and then we'll hit the phones once again. This is from Maureen. My potassium was high when I had my blood work done. Not sure why. I was eating a bunch of lentils prior to the blood work. Any suggestions?
I need to know more, Maureen. Okay. I need to know more. I don't know that lentils would do that. I need to know more about your diet and about your health in general in order to be able to really give you a good answer on that.
All right. Now, this is from, I don't know this person's name, but this person writes, wondering if there's an agency that regulates pureness and or organic classification of essential oils, then confirms on the label the way the USDA qualifies most food. And that's a great question, and that has come up before.
Yeah, it is a great question. My understanding I think it's the FDA, and it's the Food and Drug Administration. And so there is a particular brand, and Ray, you'll let me know if I can say that.
You will.
And there is a particular brand where they're the only brand that I'm aware of. They're the ones that I love and use and share and sell with clients and friends and members and whoever, because they are so pure.
Yeah.
So I would say to look up, you want to trust, it's the FDA. So
Okay. That's
the only agency I'm aware of.
All right, so we'll go back to the phones, 800-348-2551. By the way, Neil says, no way I could drink that much water in a day. Maybe on the weekends, but never during the week. I'm a school teacher. I'd never be able to get out of class to go to the bathroom.
Right, yeah.
I'd float away. That's from Neil. All right, back to the phones we go. Emily's been waiting a very long time. Emily in Plainfield, you're on with Holly Shelowitz.
Hi, Ray and Holly. I was just thinking about Holly's comments about how essential oils are actually healing and not just a smell you smell. And I wanted to share and get her comments on when COVID happened. I have a friend who's an herbalist, and she suggested whenever you've been to the grocery store or whatever, and my partner and I did this like every day until we got vaccinated, that you boil water until it's a rapid boil, and then you put a couple handfuls of dried thyme in it and let it steep for like 10 minutes, and then you breathe it in with a towel over your head. And she said that could actually help you from catching a lot of viruses that affect your lungs.
I mean,
and
is there any science behind that, though?
Wait. I want to speak to that, because I called into a different show and talked to an immunologist who said, oh, well, no, that hasn't been studied. And I believe that herbal remedies and things like dandelion or thyme that don't make any money don't get studied in this country. Because the studies are only for things
that
someone can make a bunch of money on. So
I
believe that could, I mean, I'm not going to come out and say it'll prevent COVID. And of course I used a mask and socially distanced and
right.
all that, but I think that it really could help you not get any respiratory virus. And I just wanted to hear your take
Fair
on
enough.
That.
All right, go ahead, Holly.
Okay. Well, I love that you're doing that. I completely agree. And I hope that you will also drink the thyme tea that you just made, you know, whenever you make it, that you pour off a cup of it and drink, you know, you can sweeten it with honey or stevia. And then you do that that deep inhalation. It's brilliant. I think that herbs have been used for centuries with indigenous cultures and people, and they have incredible healing properties. And so I agree with you 100%. In fact, one of the other things that I do and that I teach everyone to be doing is to be gargling every night with an herbal-infused gargle, so that for all the same reasons. They're really strong. People have probably heard of taking oregano oil, thyme oil. Those are very strong, hot oils that when they're diluted and you're gargling with them and rinsing your mouth out with them, it really can be antiviral, antibacterial, and super strengthening for your immunity. I'm so glad you're doing that, and I love that you're doing it.
Well, Emily, thank you very much for the call. Let's go now to Queensbury and Alice. Hello there, Alice.
Good afternoon. We eat frequently eat broccoli in our house. We like it, and I know it's good for you. However, on the under part of the broccoli plant, it's yellowish, probably not from being in the sun. But that yellowish part, is that as nutritional as the green part of broccoli?
The stem?
I'm not sure which part is the yellow part, but I would say the green parts definitely have the most nutrition because it has the most color. Okay. I'm not sure which part is yellow. And I'll say this, that there's actually a recipe that I would love to share with everyone. It's on my website.
Yeah.
And it's it shows you how to not throw away the stalks of the broccoli. So many people eat the florets and they toss out the stalks. And I show you how to make these broccoli croquettes with the stalks that are so delicious that, like, once you sign up for my, I think it's set up that way. Like, as soon as you sign up, you'll immediately get it. And it's right on the front page of my website. And I say this because one of the other beautiful things about eating nourishing immune-boosting foods is that we want to minimize waste in the kitchen. And notice all of the food that you're tossing out or composting. And so I'm digressing a little about the yellow part, but I'm saying, like, save your broccoli stalks and make something with it. And then all the bits and pieces of your onions and carrots and greens and things that you would normally toss, like the ends of the celery, the ends of the carrots, you can put them in a Ziploc bag in your freezer, and that can become your amazing, delicious, homemade vegetable stock. And if you eat meat or chicken, you can save bones from the meat and chicken and make this totally delicious, flavorful bone broth with all the scraps that you would normally toss away, and it's all food.
Alice, thanks a lot for the call. By the way, Holly, you don't eat meat, right, or do you?
I do. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, so that's in relation to the amount of all the stuff we've been talking about today, a small amount of meat a week, I assume.
Yeah. I go by how my body is feeling. I am like 99% vegetables on my plate.
Yeah.
Overall, and I do really thrive and feel my best when there is animal protein in my diet. Now, that said, we're all different. We're all unique, and there's not one way that's right for everyone. So some people feel exactly the way I described on a totally plant-based vegetable diet, and that's fine. As long as we're getting all of the nutrients that we need, and you know that you're feeling your best and that your health is on it. So, yeah.
All right.
We're all different. Yeah.
Holly Shalowitz joins us. Billy in Southfield. Billy, you're up.
Hi.
Hi.
Holly, I just wanted to make sure that you recommend that people speak to their doctor before drinking that much water. That much water that you're talking about can lead to overhydration or something that's called hyponatremia. This can cause headaches, confusion, irritability, and severe symptoms can be seizure and coma. So I would ask that you please, you know, make sure that people check that out with their doctor. I had a friend that ended up in the hospital from drinking the amounts of water that you are recommending.
That's very interesting, Billy. Holly, what do you say to that?
I would say it's always important to speak with your health professional before you're making changes in your diet and in drinking water, supplements, all of that. It's always good to make sure you check in.
Billy, great call. Thank you very much for that one. Let's go to Sue in the Berkshires. Sue, you're on. Hello, Sue. Marceau is on the line. Let's go to Joan in Greenwich. Joan, you're on.
Hi. Ray, I can hardly hear you, but I hope you guys can hear me.
Can you hear me now?
Well, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I called with just a comment, but now I also have a question, so I'll do the comment first,
okay.
And then if you have time for the question, fine. I know essential oils are great for people, but a lot of them are toxic to cats. And I just thought anyone with a cat out there should know that. And in fact, we use an insect repellent that contains a number of essential oils, including ones that you have mentioned. And it says it's fine for dogs, but do not use any essential oils on cats. So I just thought that people might want to be made aware of that.
I think that that's a good point, and I believe that has come up at times on our Pets and Vet shows, although I think that there are some oils that can be used, and I know we have a holistic vet who comes on periodically, and maybe you could call back at that time, and we could really get into that a little deeper, Joan.
Well, actually, she's one of our vets.
Oh, good. She's great.
I know you're talking about.
Yeah. Great. She's fantastic.
So, there are certain oils that... It really, for me and in my profession, it really has to do with the purity of the oil. And if you're diffusing an oil when your cats or dogs are in the area, you just always want to have a door open where they can leave the room if they don't like it, and they will. But I would say go for the purest, highest quality oils that you can find. And there's one particular brand that I totally recommend. Feel free to email me.
I'm sure it's on your website,
too. If you want more info. It is, totally, absolutely.
And that, by the way, is nourishingwisdom.com, right?
Yes.
All right, we only have about 30 seconds left, Holly. This email from Patricia is a great way to wrap it up here. In 30 seconds, what would be the best veggies and potatoes to make for an anti-inflammatory Thanksgiving?
Best veggies and potatoes.
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
All
so
right.
You must make a roasted butternut squash dish.
All right.
And you can either buy the squash whole and peel it yourself, or many markets are selling peeled, chopped butternut squash, which makes that task a whole lot easier. So absolutely, you can keep it so simple. A little olive oil, salt. Roast it on a baking sheet, and
yeah.
It's a game changer.
Okay.
And just then you can add fresh herbs if you like.
All right, one potato?
And apples.
Yeah.
And then potato. Oh, okay. So, let's see. So I would similarly roast potatoes. I like Yukon Gold or red potatoes. And you slice, cut them in quarters, depending on the size.
Yeah.
And then toss them with olive oil, rosemary, salt, garlic powder, lay them out on a baking sheet, and it's just divine. They're just totally amazing.
Well, Holly Shellow, we are out of time. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'm sure we'll talk to you in the new year.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ray. Thanks, everyone. Blessings to you all.
Support comes from Pekarsky, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Family-owned since 1948, offering sausages from kielbasa to Italian to bratwurst on smoked meats. Home of New England farm-made sausage, open 7 days, Pekarskys.com. Cafe Capriccio, Albany, New York, serving Albany since 1982, now serving their regional Italian cuisine 7 days a week for dining, working to provide a safe experience for their patrons, CafeCapriccio.com. Once again, thanks to Holly Shellowitz of NourishingWisdom.com for joining us today. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a splendid weekend. We'll talk about gastroenterology Monday at 2 p.m. Mark your calendars. I'll see you then.